Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. The message I want to share with you this morning I've simply entitled, Remember. Remember. Memories, as we know, are very powerful. They can bring back good feelings and they can bring back bad feelings. They can put you right back in the moment. Have you ever had a memory or something comes rushing back to you and you're right back where that memory was? You ever had that happen to you? You ever heard a song and that song just takes you back to those days when you were in love and skipping through flowers? Remember all that stuff, right? Those kind of memories, they can take you there. But then there are certain memories that can take you places that you don't want to go. But, you know, memories are powerful. We keep stacks and stacks of photographs. Some of you probably have boxes of photographs, photo albums. Some of you got photo albums all over the place. Photo albums are not as popular anymore because everything's digital, right? So now we just crash as many computers as we possibly can with all of our pictures. Jim Gaffigan says, I've got a closet full of computers that I just open up and said, there's my Disney computer. There's my vacation computer. There's my... And we do, don't we? I would dare to guess that the majority of your data and memory on your phone is taken up by photos. If you're like my wife, she never deletes them. She's got photos from 2000, you know, of things in her life. You know, we hang on to things, don't we? Some of us, we try to download them, we try to keep them. Some of you are really organized and you got all your pictures in little folders and such. You know, all mine are just on a computer with a date on them. That's all there is. There they all are. Our social media pages are littered with pics that are meant to memorialize the moment. And then we have those Facebook memories that pop up. You ever had those? Those Facebook memories that pop up to remind you of where you wish you were, right? Hey, remember when you were on vacation and now you're stuck here? You know, remember when your child was this little kid that you laughed and giggled? Now look at him! Memories. We can remember years, dates, people, events, places, music, food. We can even remember smells. If you want to know what somebody had on 6 years ago during a certain event, you can ask Amy and she will tell you the color shirt they had on. I can't even remember where I was yesterday. Memories can be so strong that we put ourselves in other people's memories because you've heard the story so many times. You ever heard a story so many times that you thought you were there? Amen. Yeah, I remember that. You weren't even there. What are you talking about? I can almost see myself there because you put yourself in other people's memories. But the thing is, memories are vital for human beings. They assist us in developing a sense of identity, a sense of belonging. They protect us by helping us to remember previous hurts or previous dangers. But they also give us a sense of hope as they move us to consider our lives and to remember how certain experiences have propelled us forward to a better hope or a better future or something better in our life ahead. Because memory makes us. If we can't recall the who, the what, the where, the when of our everyday lives, we wouldn't be able to function. There's no way for us to function if we can't remember. How many of you are bad with names? Here's what's so good about being in the church. You just use brother or sister. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. But memories are malleable. They can be forgotten, or they at least can fade over time. As our brains keep storing memories, the ones farther away tend to fade to the background. But you'll be surprised at what is still in your brain. New memories that tend to be more dramatic or more significant in the formation of who we are or our current realities are the ones that start taking precedent. We tend to allow circumstances and events to start shaping our memories and how we see the world. So obviously we can't live in the past. We have to live where we are. And as we live where we are, we're making new memories. And so it's these current situations that are starting to take over how we see the world, because new situations and circumstances can even change how we remember past events. As you start growing and you get more mature, because, you know, when you were younger, you look back at your memories and you're like, man, that was fun. And then as you get older, you're like, what was I thinking? Amen. Am I right? We start looking at memories in a different light, or we even start remembering them differently. Have you ever had a group of people tell you the same story and how funny it is to listen to the differences? No, there were four of us. No, there was five of us. We were in a truck. No, we were in a car. We went to McDonald's. No, it was Wendy's. You ever notice that? Memories that once made us smile can now make us uncomfortable. They can make us even embarrassed. They can even upset us because we're looking at them through a different lens. Or we look back at them and we're like, yeah, that was funny. Even though in the moment, do you have those memories? Do you remember those moments that you were in, that when you were in them, it was the worst thing in your life? And now you look back at them and you're like, man, that was hilarious. You can tell those stories now, right? Oh, I remember when we went on vacation, we got a flat tire and we got hit by a truck. And, you know, you look back now and you're like, that's a bad vacation, isn't it? But you look back now, like, that's really funny. It wasn't funny in the moment. But memories are hard to hang on to the older we get. If we don't make a conscious decision to remember, then they will start to fade. They start fading. Or if you don't take some type of ginkgo balboa, biloba, Rocky Balboa, whatever it is that you take to keep your brain sharp. Today we're taking communion, and it's a sacrament of the church that was installed with this last Passover meal that we read here in Luke chapter 22 before the death of Jesus Christ. And as we come upon Easter season, it's good for us to reflect on the power of what the cross means, of what the resurrection means. Communion is meant to do just that. We have communion as a physical representation of what Jesus did for us, to remind us to focus our attention, to turn our hearts and our minds towards the cross, towards the resurrection. And Jesus said, as you do this, we are doing it in remembrance of him. Remembering Jesus seems kind of strange. Remembering the cross, remembering the resurrection. Who's going to forget? How could we forget? It seems like a simple command, but Jesus found it important enough to tell them, when you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Do it for what I have done. But Jesus recognized the power of the memory and the power of the ability to either keep memories or to lose them. He obviously recognized that time and circumstances and events and life in general is going to crowd in and take up brain space. That no matter what we do, if we don't make conscious decisions to remember, they can fade from our memories. The things of this world are going to crowd and cloud our minds and shape our memories and even affect the lens in which we see them and remember them. As we go through life and as we face certain circumstances and situations, how we see the world and the lens through which we see people is affected by our circumstances and the things going on around them. Now, listen, I have a confession to make to you this morning. I am a forgetter. I need to join some type of group, but I would always forget to get there. I am a forgetter. Anyone who knows me has dealt with my master's degree in forgetfulness. Now, it does come in handy sometimes. I'll be honest with you. It comes in handy sometimes because being able to forget allows you to forgive easily. If you can forget, things just roll off your back, you know, and you're like, all right, well, oh, well, it's just them. Sometimes we need to kind of have that attitude. Oh, it's just them. But really, sometimes when it's easy for you to move on until somebody brings it back up and then you're bitter all over again. You remember when they did? Yeah, I do. Now that you mention it. But I'm able to forgive, and I'm kind of able to let go of things quicker, and it's normally by choice, and we all need to understand that. Forgiveness is a choice. You have to choose to forgive. But other times, it can be very frustrating. It can be very aggravating, not just for me, but for others. I'm a forgetter. I'm a loser. I lose things. I lose games, too. I lose at life sometimes. But I'm a loser. I lose things. I forget where I put things. But whether it's by choice or by the process of time or simply because my mind is just going in too many directions, forgetting is something that plagues me. And I'm sure that I'm not alone. Some people just forget certain items or subjects. Some of you are grateful that you got a diploma. Right? Your diploma basically represents that you made it through high school. It doesn't represent that you know anything. Look, I have this diploma. They let me get out. Some of you don't remember your multiplication tables, and you're grateful, and you don't even care. Some of you, how many remember how to diagram a sentence? Do you even know what diagram a sentence means? They don't even do that anymore. Do they diagram very often anymore? Conjugate a verb. We don't even know what the word conjugate means. Sounds illegal. Can't conjugate verbs. That's against the law. And it is seen by the fact that we don't know which verbs to use when we speak. We was is not an actual phrase. I just need y'all to know. We was didn't do nothing. We were is how it works. And just to help also, you've not seen anyone either. I seen you. No, you didn't. You saw me. You don't seen people. Seen is a helping verb. I have seen. Some of us are just not, we're not good with numbers. We're not good with memorizing stuff, you know, and that's why we use excuses like, I just don't have a good memory, so I can't memorize Bible verses. But you can quote movies from the beginning to the end. You can sing an entire song that you heard one time, right? Well, I don't listen to it because of the words. I just like the music, right? And if I ask you how the song goes, you just hum it. How's the song go? You tell me the words. We know how to memorize things, but the fact is when it comes down to it, we tend to remember things that interest us. We tend to remember things that are important to us. That doesn't mean that we can't forget those things. I'm not saying that if you forget something, it wasn't important. That's just how memories work. That's how our brain works. But typically, we will let memories fade that are just not important to us. If events happen in our lives and they weren't really that important, then those memories will start fading from our mind because they just didn't make that big of an impact on our lives. But isn't it funny how you remember certain things from your childhood that makes no sense on why you remember them? That ever happened to you? For some reason, I can't remember fourth grade at all. I don't remember what happened in fourth grade. I do remember I got hit with a baseball in fourth grade. Maybe that's the reason. I got hit right here by a line drive. Knocked me out cold. With a baseball. I remember that. I also remember in fourth grade that I got straight A's every 9 weeks. Every 9 weeks I got straight A's except for the last one. I got a B in gym. A B in gym. Because I didn't finish my jump ropes. I'm going to take this jump rope, bud. But it's true. We hang on to memories that are important to us. And this is what communion is supposed to help us with. Not only to remember what it represents, but to help us consciously keep it in the forefront of our minds. And that sounds kind of funny. We're Christians. We are the people of God. Don't we think about the cross? Don't we remember the resurrection? But we have to recognize that the existence of this memory or the existence of this event reminds us that this is important. To recognize that we are all prone to forget and that we must stir ourselves up to remember. To keep in front of us the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, no matter how far we've walked in our spiritual journey or what our current circumstances are trying to dictate to us. Remembering is powerful, especially when the memory is not a long-term memory, but a present reality. The cross and the resurrection should not be something that we only talk about at Easter. The cross and the resurrection is not just a fable or a story. We are talking about the reality of the cross and the resurrection has changed the world forever. This is part of being revival, folks. This is part of being revival. To getting back to the basics of stirring up the flame of God in our heart for the reality of the cross and the resurrection, we need to get excited again about the simple story of the gospel from the incarnation to the resurrection, the beauty of what God has done. So what do we remember this morning as we prepare our hearts for communion and prepare our hearts for this Easter season? Number one, we remember who Jesus is. The central figure of the hope of humanity is Jesus Christ. Yes, folks, no matter what is happening in our world or how crazy our world gets or where people go or where people search to find hope, at the end of the day, the central hope for our world is still Jesus Christ. The hope for your life is Jesus. The hope for your marriage, for your children, the hope for this valley is still found in the reality of Jesus Christ. And there is no measuring the impact of this one solitary life in literally changing the course of history. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the fulfillment of the prophets and is the personification of the redemption of man. The world has discussed and argued over the identity of Jesus for centuries. There's normally, you'll see a magazine that'll come out sometime around the Easter season that will discuss who Jesus is and what do we think Jesus was. And so you see people who will see Jesus as maybe some radical insurrectionist, or maybe he's a social activist, or maybe he's a wise sage. And he may very well be a mixture of all of these. Some have even seen him as a deranged lunatic. There are some people out there that even doubt that Jesus even existed at all. But what the Bible does reveal to us and makes certain to us that he is God in human flesh. However, whether way you may view Jesus Christ, understand this. He is more than a man. He is God in human flesh. He is the healer of the world, the healer of broken bodies and broken spirits. He is the savior of all who will believe. He is the deliverer from power of sin and darkness and hopelessness. Who is he? Jesus is the light of the world, the door of hope, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and the life, the good shepherd, the true vine, and the bread of life. He's worthy of our worship. He is our Savior and our King. The Bible reveals to us that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who was and is to come, the Almighty, the one who was dead and is alive forevermore, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the bright and the morning star, the Word of God, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. We must bow before the presence of this great King. You cannot shove him to the side. You cannot marginalize Jesus. You cannot put him up on a platform with other religious and political leaders. He is above all. He is worthy of praise. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And he's worthy of our worship and worthy of our surrender. This is the Jesus whom we serve. And this is why we should come in here every Sunday morning already revived and excited, because we're about to sing songs to the greatest King, the lover of our soul, the God who came in human flesh, worthy of my praise. Amen. He was the very personification of the heart of the Father. Make no mistake about it, folks. Salvation began in the heart of the Father and was manifested in flesh through Jesus Christ. So what do we remember? I want you to remember who he is. Whatever else you think about him, bow at his feet like Thomas and say, my Lord and my God. What else do we remember? Number two, we remember what he did. I want us to understand, first of all, that what Jesus did for us, or actually who Jesus is what makes what he did for us effective. If Jesus is not the sinless Lamb of God, then his cross was useless. If Jesus is not the sinless Lamb of God, if he was not God in human flesh, then his sacrifice was not effective. So we recognize who he is, but we also recognize what he has done. And I want you to see the beauty and the power of the story of God's redemption begins obviously in the incarnation. The incarnation being that, which means basically enfleshment. God became a man. He took flesh upon himself and came into this world. And the beauty of the incarnation is that God didn't sit back, uninvolved with our situation or unconcerned with our condition. The holy God of glory could have stood back and said, you get what you deserve. You are rebels. You have walked away. You are enemies of the cross. You have decided to go in your own direction. You will reap what you have sown. He could have sat back and said, you will get what has coming to you. But instead, he wrapped himself in flesh and came to this planet. Amen. And not only did he come, he came as a man to feel our hurts and to walk victoriously over sin. And again, no matter what we see Jesus as, we know that his mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. And that mission is what took him to a horrific and shame-filled cross. As Don said this morning, he died in our place. He took our punishment. He bore our sins. He endured the wrath of judgment. The wrath that was due, the judgment that was due because of my sin, because of my rebellion, was taken by Jesus Christ. But folks, 3 days later, he rose again. And there is no greater event in all of human history. We can talk about the birth or the cross or the resurrection, but as I said Wednesday night, God sees all of this as one event. This is the one event of redemption. Incarnation, a sinless life, death on the cross, and resurrection. This was the plan of God. God sees this throughout history as what redeemed us from sin. But I want you to know this morning, there is no greater event in all of history than the resurrection. I want you to know the most important thing that we can consider about Jesus is not whether we like him or whether we like what he said. Amen. When we consider Jesus, our opinion of him is not as important. I'm not asking you, do you like Jesus? God's not insecure. He doesn't want to know if you like him. Come on now. Amen. He doesn't post selfies trying to figure out how many people are going to heart and how many people are going to thumbs up. Come on. Maybe it wasn't the right angle. Maybe I didn't put it on at the right time. I put it on too late. Come on, I know that goes through people's minds. If I put this on at 8, more people will see it. The most important thing we consider about Jesus is not whether we like him or whether we like what he said. The most important thing that we have to consider is, did he die and did he rise again? Did he die and did he rise again? Because if the resurrection is true, then whether we like him or not really doesn't matter. We must recognize who he is and what he has done. Amen. The resurrection declares to us that all must listen to what he says and who he is and look at what he has done. Because we recognize that when we see what's going on in our lives and when the problems of and circumstances of life start wearing us down, it really is easy for us to forget what He did for us. I want you to look back over your life at how many times we have forgotten what God has done. Oh, we don't say that out loud. We don't make some type of expression that says, oh, I don't remember and don't want to remember. But when we get ourselves in certain circumstances, when we get ourselves in certain situations, when we find ourselves in broken places, we forget what God has done. We forget what He has done. And because of this, we forget that we're redeemed. We forget that we're saved. We get in certain situations and we're like, God, why won't you do this for me? Why won't you answer this prayer? Why won't you make this happen for me? And don't get me wrong, I believe God answers prayer. I believe we walk by faith. We stand on the promises of God. We see God move in our lives. But if we will just remind ourselves, I am forgiven. I am saved. I am bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is enough to start revival in our hearts. Remember that you're saved. When you forget, when you're in the middle of the battle and it seems like you're alone and God feels a million miles away, remember the cross. Remember the empty tomb. There is still hope. There is still healing. There is still life in Jesus Christ. So remember not only who He is, but remember what He did. Number three, remember what He says. Make no mistake about it, folks. We cannot accept Jesus for who He is and reject what He has said. Amen. We cannot look at Jesus and look at His life and look at who He is and say, you know what? I admire Him. He's a good man. He did some good things. But what He says, I don't know that I have to necessarily follow it. I'll pick and choose the ones that I like the best. I won't allow His word to challenge me. I won't allow His word to confront me. But Jesus said, if you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We can't dance around this, folks. We can't wash that over. We can't come up with some alternative meaning for what that's talking about. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But Jesus said, my commandments are not burdensome. They are not grievous. They are not too much for you to bear. For a matter of fact, they are life-giving. When you grab a hold of the commandments of God and live out the commandments of Christ, you find out what you were created for. Amen. You find out what brings you the most joy, the most peace, the most comfort, the most hope is when you're walking in obedience to the Word of God. And so that's why we must remember and rehearse and meditate on the Word of God. What God has spoken has to get down in our hearts. We need to be people of the Word. And that's what we need to remind ourselves of. In the midst of the storms of life, the Word of God is an anchor of hope. It is a guide through the battle. I know there are some of you that can testify here this morning that there have been times in the darkest times of your life that you have grabbed a hold of a promise of God and stood on it and confessed it and memorized it and spoke it and read it and walked it out and shared it and cried over it and prayed over it and praised over it, but it got you through. Can you testify about the power of the Word of God in your life? It is an anchor. It is a solid ground on which you can found your life. And it will not fail. It will not shake. The storms will come. The world will change. People will forget. But the Word of God stands forever. Embracing the truth of God's Word allows us to build our lives on something that is unshakable. In the midst of chaos and confusion in our world, the Bible is a place of safety. It is a refuge. It is a revelation of who He is and what He has done. Amen. So if we're going to remember, if we're going to remind ourselves, then we have to give the Word of God precedent in our lives. We have to allow the Word of God to speak to our hearts. We have to allow the promises of God to boil up on the inside of us. We have to commit our hearts to walk in the commandments of Jesus, because to follow after Christ is not just to follow after the image of who we think He is, but we are to follow after what He has said. We must walk in His words. We must follow His commandments. We are His disciples, and we will follow Him. And as Peter said, where else am I going to go? Only you have the words of eternal life. So we remember who He is. We remember what He did. We remember what He says. And finally, we remember who we are. Jesus, folks, came for us. It was God's love for a rebellious mankind that sent Jesus into this world. And because of what He did at the cross and the resurrection, we have been redeemed. We are no longer who we used to be. We are no longer in darkness. We are children of God. But make no mistake about it, folks, the cross demands something of us. The cross is not just a story that we hear every year. It's not just a story about God's love and God forgiving us of our sins, for most assuredly it is. But the cross stands before us and demands something of us. The cross cannot be that ugly and that horrific for us to think that God does not demand something of us. A payment was made for the ugliness and the brutality of sin. Redemption comes by grace through faith by the act of repentance. The truth of the gospel declares that we are lost, that without Christ we are in sin, we are in darkness, we are strangers to the covenants of promise, we are outsiders looking in. But it also reveals to us who we are because of grace and because of faith. Look at the price. Look at the cross, folks, and look at the price that Jesus was willing to pay for who you are. You are valuable to Him. You have intrinsic value simply because you're a creation of God, but His love and wrath was poured out on the cross so that we might be redeemed and that we might become the people whom God has created us to be. We can now approach the God of the universe with confidence and with hope. We are not unworthy worms. We are invited to the table because of the blood of Jesus Christ. God, the creator of the world, has declared, "You are my child, you are my son, and you are my daughter. Your shame has been lifted, your pain has been lifted, your sins have been washed away. Sit at the table with God the Father." So I encourage you this morning, don't allow the accusations and the condemnation of the enemy keep you from being everything and doing everything that God intended you to be and that God has called you to do. Rejoice. Rejoice in the blood of Jesus. Rejoice and remember who you are. You are not forgotten. You are not left out. You are not on the outside looking in. You are not unloved. You are not hopeless. There is a resurrected King that has redeemed your life. If you have believed, if you have repented of your sin, you belong to the God of the universe. You belong to the King of heaven and earth, and He loves you, and He has declared, "You are mine." And you can walk in this world with confidence, knowing that His blessing and His favor rests upon your life because of the cross and the resurrection. Remembering is powerful. And sometimes we just need to go back to basics and remind ourselves of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. We need to remind ourselves of His promises, of His wonderful grace that has kept us. We need to remind ourselves that we are saved, that we have been redeemed. He didn't have to do this, church, but He did it. God did not have to make this decision, but He did. And now He has called us to remember. Remind yourself. Remind yourself of my goodness. I don't know where you are this morning or what you're going through. I don't know what you have done or what you are facing, but I want to remind you there is a cross and there is an empty tomb. I want to remind you that He loves you, that no matter where you are or what's burdening you down, no matter what your future may look like, there is a God who holds your life in His hands. And He's not against you, He's for you. He loves you, and He reaches out to you with His power, with His grace, with His hope. So I'm asking you this morning to remember. I'm asking you to get up tomorrow morning as you face the shovel in the face called Monday. And remember. Remember who He is. Remember what He did. Remember what He says. And remember who He has made you. Remember who He has made you. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. But salvation is not a feeling. Salvation is a reality that changes who you are. Amen. And that life and that hope and that peace can change you forever.